Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Analysis and opinion so honest, it's just a matter of time before they get themselves in trouble. Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
It is Baseball Central for Friday, May 22nd. I am Jeff Blair.
Hello.
Joined by Kevin Barker. Missed you yesterday because of that Mike Babcock
thing.
You did?
Who's that?
This is a guy, head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. What do you think of him?
Sounds like he's legit. That was a bad answer?
No, that was a good answer. That was a good answer. Speaking of legit, R.A. Dickey, the good R.A. Dickey showed up last night, and Toronto beat the L.A. Angels of Anaheim 8-4, a complete game for R.A. Dickey. 5 hits, 4 runs, 2 walks, 7 strikeouts. It's the first 9-inning complete game since June 26, 2013. And you were talking to Pete Walker a couple days ago, and they were talking a bit about R.A.'s knuckleball, and I think R.A. said that they made a mechanical adjustment. And actually it was funny because John Gibbons said before the game, because I asked John Gibbons in his media session, I said, okay, the hell type of mechanical adjustment does a knuckleball pitcher
right.
make? Like, does he do something to make the knuckle more? Uh-huh. And he said his understanding was usually it was the landing, that with R.A. Dickey, the thing he had to work on was the landing. He talked about how you want to be square to the plate.
Sure.
And R.A. said, you know, that he and Pete Walker, they made some corrections. But essentially, my understanding from your discussion is his knuckleball was actually physically acting differently in his recent starts,
It was tumbling, which is not what you want to do as a knuckleball guy, because that means it's moving too much. You want a knuckleball to not move at all.
Right.
And when it's tumbling, that means mechanically you're not right.
And it's easy to hit when it tumbles.
100%.
It's like a slow, straight fastball.
That's exactly right. When it's up, he can't miss up because it's tumbling, it's moving, and, you know, it's ultimately easier to hit. It's not going side to side, which is what they want it to do. Late movement to the sides mechanically. I think that's what you saw yesterday. You saw him going slower in his windup. He sort of had the Japanese windup where he would go stop, think about where my release point is, and then go again. And he did that consistently. That's the one guy on this entire staff that has to consistently get to the release point every time in the same time, same spot. Yesterday we saw that. He does that. The knuckleball moves like that. He's going to be real tough to beat and ultimately give your team a chance to win, especially at home when they're a much better hitting team at home and they catch the ball and they do everything better at home than they do on the road. Last night, that's what you want from R.A. Dickey. Give you quality innings, give you a chance to win, and he was doing that.
Kevin, when you look at that game last night, the lineup that John Gibbons ran out, now we know with R.A. Dickey out there that you've got to have Josh Toley. We know with the situation regarding injuries now, and for those of you who don't know, Munenori Kawasaki has been called
up. Your favorite.
Devin Travis is on the disabled list with an inflamed shoulder. I'll tell you what, I almost feel like going down and working on Devin Travis's shoulder myself to get him back in the lineup. Because I think when you have Munenori Kawasaki in your team, basically you're saying we're just...
Well, he's not going to do a whole lot. When's he going to play? You know, he's here in case somebody else gets hurt.
Well, he'll be, yeah.
They need that extra guy.
No, they'll run him out there to keep the fans happy, I would think. But that lineup last night was...
Did you laugh when you saw Josh Toley hitting sixth?
Not only did I laugh, I showed John Gibbons a tweet that somebody sent out. Somebody had a picture of his lineup card,
right,
and they had the top three hitters, and then they just had a hole. They just had a
That's
hole
not
on
nice.
It. And I showed John Gibbons that, and he just started to laugh and shrugged. But you know what? The bottom of that lineup, the bench players, if you want to call it that, as we've seen in the past with this team, they've got it done. Guys like Carrera, Danny Valencia, certainly. They got it done. And again, it's just I would love to see this team stay fully healthy? Because I think this is one of the best benches they've had in a long time.
Well, you know, the
fully healthy.
The guys you just mentioned all do things at the plate that they know they can do. They don't go up there trying to do anything different. Valencia's a line-to-line hitter. He can hit a home run down the right field line just like he can left. Go up, put a good swing, get the fat part of the bat. You like that on the ball. Go line to line. We saw that yesterday. You saw Tolleson bunting in the third inning. I know you're a big fan of that. I'm sure you're rolling your eyes in the third inning about that.
In that instance, I like the play because it really and the replay that the guys in Sportsnet showed was great. I mean, that they had L.A. fooled six ways to Sunday on that. Well, I had no problem with
that. They always tell us in spring training, get the worst athlete on the field involved, and that's the pitcher. You see Anaheim's, mm-hmm. I think their pitchers have 7 errors this year. You get those guys involved because they're not used to fielding the baseball. You get that guy involved, he throws the ball down the right field line, then you got a rally going. That's what I mean, especially against a team and a pitcher that you have trouble scoring runs off of. Early in the game, you do little things that you normally don't do to get you off to a hotter start. And again, it gets back to R.A. Dickey would pitch better with the lead. Yesterday, obviously, he didn't have the lead. He gave up the home run the first inning. But after that, he settled down to get him some runs. He pitches better. He has more confidence. He can go out there and basically work on things mm-hmm. during the game to throw strikes and have that knuckleball dancing all over the place. Josh Tolley was having a real tough time actually catching it. That's the first day yesterday I've seen in a while where he was, you know, sort of moving the glove all over the place. Normally, it's I can catch that pretty easily, throw it back to R.A. Dickey. Yesterday was having trouble. Again, I think it gets back to that. You pitch better with the lead, and you can do enough to get your offense on a roll. That means if you need to bunt, if you need to hit and run early in the game to get you off to a quicker start, do whatever it takes to win games, especially when you're 6 or 7 games under 500, last in the American League East, which we've all mm-hmm. said is a bad division. Do what you have to do.
I want to ask you about that because we had Jerry Howarth on in the last hour of my show, and we were talking about the American League East. And let's just kind of, because we've been off for a couple of days, or not off for a couple of days, but we missed a day because of the Mike Babcock stuff. This is the American League East division right now, the standings as of last night, the end of last night. Tampa's leading. They're 23-19.
Wow.
The Yankees are second. They're 22-19. Baltimore's third. They're 18-20. Boston is fourth. They're 19-22. The Jays are 19-24. They've stunk.
Mm-hmm.
They have absolutely stunk.
They can't pitch the ball. That's
yeah, but they've stunk in the past 2 weeks, and they've lost half a game during that time. Like, to lose 7 of 8, which they had until last night,
mm-hmm.
and to be a half game back of where you were is really remarkable. And if you look at the other divisions, I mean, you know, this AL Central, Kansas City's got 26 wins. Detroit's got 25. Minnesota's got 23. Chicago's got 18. Cleveland, who a lot of us thought were going to have a real shot at a postseason spot in Sports Illustrated, picked to go to the World Series, they've got 17 wins. It's not a good division.
Every one of those teams you just mentioned, the Central, do one thing that everybody in the East doesn't do. Pitch the baseball and catch it more times than not. You look in the East, you got Baltimore's the one team that's a head-scratcher to me because they're not catching the ball like they used to. Buck Showalter team, I don't think that's going to last very long. They're just hanging around enough that they can get hot and start doing what they normally do. That's the one team to me that scares. It's scary in the East because they're hanging around.
Mm-hmm.
That's why if you're Toronto, you're going, well, all these other teams are struggling and I'm only 4.5 back. What if I can get on a 10 out of 12 or a 10 out of 15 thing here? They'd be in first place again. Can they do that? That's the question. Can they do that with the pitching staff they have and the bullpen they have in Toronto? You know, it's a step in the right direction last night with R.A. Dickey because you're going to need the one guy to step up that you can count on every 5 days. Can he do that again mm-hmm. the next time he starts? I'm not real sure of that because it's a mechanical thing. That pitch is so erratic that one time it's moving and dancing all over the place and nobody can hit it. Next time it's you could hit it, Jeff. So, you know, it's
– I don't think I could hit it.
You could hit the bad one. The one that doesn't do anything, that's flat and tumbles. And
I don't know about that.
Bunt it. There you go. point being is it'd be a real good time for all of these guys to, you know, to get together as an entire team, 1 through 12, that pitching staff, and say, hey, it's here for the taking. Now we just have to start stringing together good games. Estrada tonight may be the X factor because nobody thinks he's going to do well against King Felix.
Mm-hmm.
Go out there and try to throw as many strikes. It's not like Seattle's one of the best hitting teams in baseball. They have one guy, Nelson Cruz, hitting over 300. And one guy that can beat you with a long ball, that's Nelson Cruz. So you look through their lineup, think about who I'm going to pitch around and who I don't want to beat me. Normally that would be Robbie Cano. Well, he's gotten off to a slower start.
Nelson Cruz is the guy I'm worried about.
Exactly. Don't pitch to him. Why would you pitch to him? You don't have to. You, like I said, you have one guy that's hitting 300. Don't let him beat you. That's your scouting report. The one guy, if I have to walk him, I walk him.
One of the other interesting things about the American League East, these are the team's records within their division. Tampa's 16-13. The Yankees are 16-13. Baltimore's 14-15. Boston's 10-15. The Jays are 14-14. Like, there's a whole lot of mediocrity. Whole lot of mediocrity here. I'm just looking at other teams within their division leaders. For example, Houston, the American League West, they're 18-11 against American League West opposition. You go to the Central. Against Central opposition, Kansas City, they're 15-10 within their division. Detroit is 18-10. Then you get the Minnesota at 14-14. It really just speaks to the...
Yeah, but Kansas City and Detroit are different. They're two of the best teams in baseball. Out of the 30 teams, those two teams are going to be doing that to each other all year. So those two teams are a little different because of what they bring to the table. They have MVPs and best pitching staff in baseball, best bullpen in baseball. You can't compare yourself to those teams, but you can go out and try to, you know, get on a roll, do things that the other guy does, be competitive. Say R.A. Dickey went 9 innings. You can't really say that every starter is going to do that, but you can go out and give him 7 good innings and give your team a real good chance to win, especially at home. They're a lot better team hitting-wise on the road. They strike out 100 times less on the road. That means they got 100 more chances of getting a hit or driving in a run. Give them a chance to do that. That's all you ask if you're Pete Walker and John Gibbons is to give that offense a chance to win a game late.
We are just a few minutes away, by the way, from John Gibbons, the manager of the Blue Jays, joining us ahead of tonight's game. The Jays will start a 3-game series against the Seattle Mariners. Felix Hernandez on the mound for the Mariners. He's 6-1 with an ERA of 2.30. Marco Estrada is on the mound for the Toronto Blue Jays. Blue Jays Central Live will get you set for the game at 6:30 with Jamie Campbell and Greg Zahn. That'll be in Sportsnet 1. First pitch flies shortly after 7 on Sportsnet 590. The Fan with Jerry Howarth, Joe Siddle, Mike Wilner, and on Sportsnet 1, Buck Martinez, Pat Tabler, and Barry Davis will have the call of the game. Mike Wilner will take your calls after the game of the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, the Jays have had a little bit of success against Felix Hernandez. Not that I would ever count Felix Hernandez out, but they have had a little bit of success against him. And the Mariners, like the Jays, well, I think I would say people probably expected a lot more out of the Mariners than they expected out of the Jays. But things haven't exactly gone swimmingly for the Mariners either at the start of the season.
They're not catching the ball. That was the big thing that stood out to me is, again, tonight you'll see John Gibbons doing things he normally doesn't do, especially in this park. He's going to hit and run. He's going to bunt. He's going to, you know, maybe try to steal more bases, put more pressure on the defense. Maybe make that defense throw a ball away, put King Felix in an uncomfortable position on the mound. No pitcher's better from the stretch than he is the windup. The more times you can get a really good pitcher in the stretch, the more times you're going to have him to make a mistake, hang a baseball to a Edwin, to a Batista, to a Donaldson. You saw last night. You do enough of those little things, a guy's going to leave a ball out over the plate and up, and then you go, yeah, and then you're hitting that 3-run homer, and then it separates you from the other team. That's how you beat really good teams and really good pitchers, and that's what he's going to have to do tonight.
What did you see from Edwin last night? I mean, you're pretty good when it comes to talking about Edwin's swing. He had his 3-run homer last night. He's hit some homers this month, but it's really not it's really not the month I think we thought we'd see from Edwin, or we'd hoped we'd see from
Edwin. Well, I see Edwin going out of the strike zone a lot, which is not normal. I played with Edwin in winter ball. I've seen him a lot here. Normally when he's smoking hot and hitting a lot of home runs, he swings at nothing but strikes. And last night we saw an example of that. He gets a strike. You see how far he can hit the baseball and more consistent his swing is. You go out of that strike zone and start swinging at balls, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 inches off the plate, which is how they were going to try to get him out. They made it clear, we're going to stay away from you and go soft in to get you yanking that ball way foul to throw you away. The more times he lays off that borderline pitch away, they're going to have to start creeping on the plate, and that's when he does damage. He can do that. You're going to start seeing more of that May last year creep into June, July, and then ultimately the Blue Jays are going to be better.
The field manager of the Toronto Blue Jays is John Gibbons, and John Gibbons joins Kevin Barker and myself in Baseball Central. Good morning, Mr. Gibbons.
Hey, Gibby.
Good morning. It's a beautiful day.
Well, it was until I found out you're bringing up Munenori Kawasaki. The hell's up with that?
Huh?
The hell's up with that?
Crickets.
The spark plug.
So we're going to see him in a lineup tonight?
Good, very good chance. Now, really, hey, what happened with Travis, you know, Devin just what he was making progress, but it was starting to get to the point now where I think it's been 5 or 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's probably going to need a couple more. So we looked at it, you know, he's a young guy, and we need to get him right. And then, you know, he feels good in a couple of days. You know, he can go out and play maybe a few rehab games himself. And Reyes is coming back, as the plan is today, you know, on Monday. So we need that extra body. We need somebody that can help us out for a few more days anyway. So it made sense.
What was the read that people got on Jose Reyes in Buffalo in his first game?
I heard he looked good. He felt fine. He played a solid game. It didn't look like he had been out for any length of time, really.
And he hit from both sides, right?
No aches and pains, or none that were reported to me anyway.
That's good. And he hit from both sides, did he?
I believe so, yeah.
Gibby, me and Jeff were at the field the other day. We saw Jose Bautista flipping a baseball in the air. Does that mean we're going to see him in right field maybe next week?
God, I hope so. I've been saying that a while now, but, he's making progress, but I try to stop talking about it because, I didn't.
We have
teasing,
to ask. Gibby.
Teasing you guys.
Yeah, we have to ask you. Sorry,
don't want to tease you guys and then come up short. But yeah, he's moving the right way too. He's starting to progress so further and further. So, I don't know how long it's going to be, but he's moving the right direction.
Sean, what was the difference in R.A. Dickey last night compared to his previous starts?
JB, I thought it much more movement on the ball. Less flat knucklers. He was really good. It was almost like, it almost looked like the velocity. And I don't know this for a fact, but that's what registers with me. It looked like the velocity may have been down just a little bit, and he got more movement on the pitch. Sometimes I think, too, maybe he tries to, he's had success throwing a little bit harder, but sometimes maybe he was throwing it through the break on that thing, similar to what happens with guys with curveballs and things, too. So, but whatever he did, I know he made some adjustments in between starts. Really, really paid off, and I think it was dancing pretty good last night.
Now, I asked you yesterday in your pregame media session what type of adjustments a knuckleball pitcher could make, because the knuckleball is his bread and butter. And you talked about especially the way he lands when he throws the ball, how you talked about being square to the plate and things like that. Did his, without giving away state secrets here, did that mechanical change that he make, was that really based around something around that part of the game, is just the way he was landing and the way he was releasing the ball as opposed to anything else?
I think it can be a real small, just a very minor thing, but it can affect throwing a baseball, tremendously. So, I think what they did, they just looked at the way he was landing, and there might have been a very small adjustment on that. Nothing major, and it paid off. The knuckleball is hard to throw over the plate to begin with. When you get a little bit out of whack, it doesn't take much. It gets that much tougher. The biggest thing about pitching for all these guys is being able to repeat your delivery. So it's a little bit off, then it can cause trouble.
Yeah, Gibby,
you guys still there?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I heard a beeping. Sorry.
Yeah. Gibby, we saw Aaron Sanchez a couple of nights ago. You were talking about repeating delivery. He seems like when he's sort of like R.A. Dickey was last night, real slow and deliberate through the windup, he throws strikes. You see him a lot closer than I do on an everyday basis. Is that basically the gist of it? If he's real soft and easy, he's going to throw strikes.
Yeah, Bark, I agree with you. Yeah, that's and he keeps getting better and better every time he goes out there. And it's he hasn't always gotten the results he's wanted. You know, he's walking a lot of guys. You know, especially early this season, but he's starting to cut down on that. And I think the other night he really gave us, you know, everybody a glimpse of what he could become. But he's one of those guys. He's a very young stage in his career. You know, everybody saw him great out of the bullpen last year in one plus inning stint. And, so everybody was electrified by it. But, you know, when you got to have to go out there and do it 6-7 and hopefully 8-9 innings, a little bit different, you know. But he started to put it all together. But generally, a lot of times what happens with young guys with great arms is it usually comes down to just a small mechanical thing, and because they're so young in their career and age that they're still learning about their mechanics and things like that. You know, Daniel Norris, another example, same example really. That when everything's not refined yet and polished up, that those are the kind of things that can happen. So, but Sanchez moving in the right direction every time he goes out there, and sky's the limit.
John, the bottom of the order really came through for you last night, to say the least. And I know before the game there was a lot of talk about the lineup and about where Josh Tolley was hitting everything. But I wanted to ask you about Barker's laughing. I wanted to ask you about Danny Valencia. The way you've used Danny Valencia this year and some of the calls you've made with him, you know, and even starting him last night, what type of player is Danny Valencia in your mind?
Well, Jeff, you know what? When I was coaching over in Kansas City, he first came up with the Twins, and I love the guy. I mean, I thought this guy, you know, he's going to go on and be a heck of a player. And back then, he was hitting left-handers and right-handers; it didn't matter. I'm not sure what happened past that, and he just got thrown into the platoon role. Maybe he was struggling facing right-handers, and I didn't see that early on. I saw him as a threat either way. And then he's been kind of pigeonholed in that role. And yeah, I mean, but he's had a lot of at bats against right-handers, so I mean, he needs to prove everybody wrong. But you know, there's something in there. You know, the guy shows up every day to work and wants to play. And we've thrown him a little opportunity here and there against some right-handers, and he's come through for us. So. I think he's fully capable of hitting right-handers. He's been struggling with it the last few years. But I tell you what, nobody hits a left-hander better. That's for sure. And that makes him, oh so valuable. But I think, I think he can hit some righties. And there's going to be times this year we'll give him that opportunity because, he deserves that.
Yeah, Gibby, what sets Steve Tolleson apart from any other role player you have?
Well, Bark, he's really fitting the same role here as Valencia is for us. They're primarily used against left-handers. Even Valencia can play second base, so they both can play the outfield, third base, second base. That kind of thing. There's been talk anyway that Valencia could play a little short if we needed it. Hmm. We know Tolleson can do that, so they're very similar. They both run well. Tolleson's got the edge on that, but they're both good runners. They're really, really the same guy, and Valencia adds more power. So, against left-handers, they're tough outs, and that's really kind of the way we built our team this year. That we give them some opportunities against lefties, and both of them too. Are professional guys. They show up every day to play. There's not a lot of bitching and moaning, that kind of thing. They're the pleasure to be around. They can help you win. There's a lot of guys in this, the good teams in this game have, a couple role players on their teams that know what their job is and they do it well, and that's it helps out quite a bit.
John, with Marco Estrada starting tonight, would I be correct in saying, and I know that, momentum is only as good as the next day's starter, I know all that, but what you saw from Dickey, what you got from Burley, what you saw from Sanchez, what you got from Hutchison, Are there things that suggest to you that maybe the starting pitching is stabilizing just a little bit? And again, I know it can all come undone in the next start, but I get the sense around the team and from the starting pitchers that there was a sense that the starting pitching looks like it's stabilizing a little bit this last turn through the rotation.
Yeah, Jeff, it sure looks like it. These guys, it's overdue. These guys are better than the way we've been, they've been pitching. You look back even last year, we had that stretch of 20 plus games, whatever it was, six innings or more. You know, it's a couple different new faces, but it's basically the same guys. So we've seen them do that before. Baseball, in a lot of ways, a game of streaks. We were on kind of that downhill roll there. Now it looks like we're starting to head towards that uphill roll. Let's hope that's the case. But they're fully capable of it. They're definitely better than they have pitched. We came home. We started Redmond. To give everybody that extra day. So maybe that extra day is help them collect themselves and regroup a little bit. So we'll see.
John, we're going to let you run. Best of luck against the Seattle Mariners tonight. First of a three-game series. Pretty easy start. Felix Hernandez should be all right.
Hey, you going to be out there tonight?
I would not miss Munenori Kawasaki's return to Toronto. You couldn't pay me enough money to keep me away.
Well, you were a little under the weather yesterday. I wasn't sure if you were going to suck it up and show.
No, I'll suck it up. I'll be there for the loving. Don't worry.
Attaboy. All right.
See you, Gibby.
See ya. It's John Gibbons, manager of the Toronto Blue Jays.
Did he say Valencia could play shortstop?
Yes.
Huh. I think that's what
he has taken. He has taken balls at shortstop during infield. But I think he's just saying that as a thing. But it's always interesting because I went back and did when they brought Danny Valencia over here. I went back and read some stuff that was written when he first came up, and this guy at one point was considered to be a real good hitting prospect. And I always kind of find it odd when guys, because I don't think you get to the majors and get that initial taste of the majors without being able to hit both lefties and righties. And I've never talked to Danny, but I'd be interesting to know when this thing kind of set in. And, Kevin, I mean, a lot of it in baseball is political, right? Somebody gets an idea about you. This guy can only hit this. And he talks to somebody, Valencia, yeah, he can only hit left-handers. But when you look at what people were saying about him when he came up, the fact that he's now kind of turned into almost the specialist is really, it's interesting.
I'll say this. I'd rather be a specialist in the big leagues than playing every day in AAA.
Okay.
Let's put it to you that way. With that being said, you can see when he faces right-handers that he's not as good a hitter as he is facing left-handers because of that breaking ball. The way the breaking ball breaks to a right-hander obviously is a lot different. Down and away, righty on righty, other than a lefty throwing down and in breaking balls. And when you throw down and in breaking balls to a power-hitting right-hander that basically comes off the bench, is a free swinger, knows his role, that we get back to that. Guys knowing their role, they can prepare every day to go facing that one left-hander, especially like late in the game, you double switch or switch with a guy knowing you're going to face that lefty, go up looking for one pitch. You can be in this game a very long time if you do a couple of things really good. Danny Valencia does that. He doesn't do anything great. He does a couple of things really good, and that's mash lefties. That's the one thing you can count on every year is Danny Valencia is going to just blow up left-handers, and there's not too many guys in the big leagues, if you look around, that do that. Mm-hmm. Those guys are hard to find because they don't play every day. Take it from a guy that tried to do that. You don't play every day. It's hard for timing, especially a guy that hits home runs, bigger swings. You have to be shorter and quicker to the baseball. It's hard. It's a mental thing more than anything, and Valencia's sort of figured out, this is the way I'm going to stay in the big leagues. I'd rather be doing it here than playing every day in AAA.
I'm sure Danny Valencia feels that way as well. We're going to take a break and come back with, we got Barker Goes Yard.
Yes.
Got to do that because people ask me about it. We have a guy who's still demanding that we do it every day.
Every day, huh?
And I just don't know if you're up to it.
Am I capable of that?
Oh, you're capable of it. You're like Mike Babcock would say, it's a journey. You need the challenge. Right. It's a challenge to a journey, or a journey to a challenge.
Maybe I need
something like that.
Babcock in here giving rallies, pep rallies, and excitement, and get it going every other day. Or
maybe you just need 8 years and $50 million.
That wouldn't hurt.
Or a safe environment, as Travis McKenzie said. Did that go out over the air? We're trying to get Travis more involved in the show so people actually hear his voice.
Did they hear Travis?
No. Oh, Travis, we're gonna run that out. We're gonna run that out when I'm back doing the Blair Show the week after this. We're gonna start having Travis's voice. Yeah, I'm not certain I want to do it next week in Baseball Central. I don't know if it's gonna be that good, Travis. I'm just kidding. We'll get Travis's voice on. Because people keep asking me, what's Travis like? I get what's Travis like as much as I get what's McGowan's like.
You need to be nice to Travis.
I know I need. We're all going to be working for Travis at some point in the next 10 years down the road. Well, I'll probably be dead by then.
10 years?
Yeah.
Well, you will be like 170-something.
Shut up. It's Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, we're back. Why the hell you were trying to assault me with a stapler?
People could hear how you talk to me.
That was scary.
On commercial breaks, you deserve it.
Tried to staple my leg.
If I would have tried it, I would have done it.
Yeah, the way things are going, it would have been the highlight of the day.
Boo.
Don't forget, Jays and Seattle Mariners, first of a three-game series tonight at the Rogers Center. Piece of cake for the Blue Jays. Felix Hernandez is on.
What do you got
mound.
To lose?
Nothing.
You have got a good Marco approach. Stratt. Go and, you know.
There you go. Marco Stratt on the mound for the Blue Jays. Munenori Kawasaki.
Didn't Gibby say he was starting?
Shut up. No, he didn't say he's starting.
He didn't say he wasn't starting.
Anyhow,
I'm going to say second base.
Munenori Kawasaki. Oh, see that? Munenori Kawasaki's back with Devin Travis in the DL at least for a couple of days. So I know how much all of you out there love Munenori Kawasaki, and Bob Bannerman's probably all excited right now too. Because
I'm excited.
Yeah, I bet you are. Are you even going out tonight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Except my parents are coming. They're driving up right now.
They are? I think they're listening.
They're on their way. Oh, they're always listening. Some reason my mom listens to you every day. I'm going to have to ask her why that is, because I'm not real sure. But my mom and dad are driving here. I'm sure they've luckily gotten through customs. Hopefully nothing went wrong there, and they're
I'm
on
sure
their way driving.
I made a call. I'm sure.
So hi, mom and dad. Can't wait to see you. That'll be fun.
Going to a
game Saturday. So that'll be fun. My parents have never been to a game at the Rogers Center.
They haven't? Of course not, no.
Well, I mean, I did play here. Are you trying to be funny a little bit?
No.
You
no,
were
I was
trying
not,
to be
no,
funny
was,
a little bit, weren't
no,
you?
No, I was not trying to be
and
funny.
And didn't even know you were being funny.
No, I was not trying to be funny. I just assumed that they've seen you play in the majors. Not
at the Rogers Center.
At the Rogers.
Yeah.
Well, yes, but I mean, you know what? I wasn't saying that to be nasty. I just...
You do things and don't even know you're doing them.
Well, no, okay? Because you said it was their first time up in Toronto, so I just took that
That's
to
not
mean
what
that
I
they,
said.
Oh.
I said that's the first time they're going to a game at the Rogers Center, not first time in Toronto.
Okay.
Difference.
I should move on. What else happened in baseball yesterday? Not much. The Houston Astros, they continued to hit.
Do we just get tired of talking about them? Because they win all the time.
Yeah, well, they lost, though, to Detroit. Detroit beat them. Detroit
best team in baseball, Detroit and Kansas City.
James McCann, solo home run in the 11th inning. Again, the Houston Astros just, and that game was on when, in the Jays clubhouse and when we were doing, John Gibbons' pregame managerial session, that game was on, and, everybody's just watching the Astros. Madison Bumgarner.
Hit a homer.
How many for him in his career?
Oh, he hit it off Clayton Kershaw, your favorite MVP. That's a whole different conversation me and you should have soon. as a pitcher, being the MVP of
anywhere
in baseball.
We'll do that later in the year. I don't have a problem with that. But
That's terrible that you would say that.
Everybody went into this year thinking that the San Francisco Giants. You know, we know that the San Francisco Giants only win the World Series in even numbered years. But everybody went into this season thinking, well, San Francisco, you know, boy, they lose the Kung Fu Panda. They're going to be scuffling. Well, guess what? They are 23-18. They're a game and a half back of the Dodgers in the West. They just finished sweeping the Dodgers. They've won six in a row.
Bruce Bochy,
man. Again.
I play with him. You talk about the new hockey coach here. They're a lot alike just by listening to Babcock talk a lot yesterday and playing for he's off the charts on how he gets players to play and have a good time and have a good time in the clubhouse, but once you get between the lines, it's time to play. And you know what the difference is too? He has Madison Bumgarner. That's the guy every 5 days that he knows I'm going to run out there and he's going to give us a real good chance.
Mm-hmm.
No matter who he's pitching against. That says a lot. It says something when you have that guy.
What would you rather have, $1,000 or Bruce Bochy's head full of nickels?
Bruce Bochy's, that's 100%. I don't even think they have I think that's two hats sewn together. You ever shaking his hand?
Yes, he's the biggest man. He is the biggest man. Like just,
it's like forearm. He's shaking your forearm, not your hand, because he can't shake your hand. It's like
he's
one of the nicest people in the world. I told you, when I got sent down, he felt so bad about sending me down, he invited me out for drinks. Just to say I'm sorry. Man, that's, you know.
Yeah,
he didn't know who I was, so that was pretty cool for him to do that.
He's pretty special in that, and that team is just, you know, you talk, they're like baseball's version of the Chicago Blackhawks. They just got a bunch of guys who know how to win, and they've got a couple of guys who've been there for a lot of the success, like Buster Posey. And man, it just carries on. And guys come in and they hit the ground running with them. And you know what? Their best players are really, 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 really good players, which also helps.
And it's the park they play in too. You know, you got to figure. I went there a couple of times when I was at the Reds, and it's a very hard place to play. You got to be on top of your game to do that.
Speaking of on top of your game,
my favorite thing.
There we go.
Batter up. It's time for Parker Goes Yard.
You know, every time I think of the Seattle Mariners, I still think of Ichiro Suzuki. Now, he's not there now. He's obviously with the Florida Marlins, but still making news.
Well, you know, honestly, whenever you think of Babe Ruth, you sort of think of that guy, too, because No, you don't?
No.
Well, he just tied Babe Ruth in hits with 2,873 hits, Jeff. You know how many hits that is?
That's one more than 2,872.
Man, I can't get anything past you. But the funny thing about that is he started doing that when he was 27 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he's 41. You do the math. That's really good. He owns a lot of records. But the one thing that stood out to me.
41 minus 27. Yeah, what?
Nice. Good job. When he talked to the New York Times when he played for the Yankees, he said, "I'd rather impress the chicks with my technique than my brute strength." And I have one question.
He did not.
How would you impress chicks, Jeff?
Huh? Who said that?
He did. You look it up. 2009 to the New York Times. I'd rather impress them with my running out of the box, swinging bunt, than to hit a ball in the trees.
That must have been one of those chicks dig the long ball things.
It was.
Yeah, or something could have been lost in the translation. I just let my natural charm take over.
Are you trying to say I talk funny?
No, not at all. Not at all. It was a pretty good day yesterday, not just for the Blue Jays, but for the Blue Jays Care Foundation.
It was my favorite thing. The 7th annual celebrity broadcast auction, the Jays Care Foundation could not have won any better. Basically, that's the only reason I watched the game yesterday is because that's one of the best things ever. They raised $270,216. I can't tell you. I did, but I didn't get it. I just have to say, way to go, people. That's one of the greatest things ever.
This one's deep. Going back, Rasmus at the fence, leaping up, and it's gone!
That's nice, a Colby Rasmus home run. What, you couldn't find a Munenori Kawasaki homer? Oh, it got launched over Rasmus. That's all right, then. You know what I want to know, though, before we go on to the third part of Parker Goes Yard? I want to know how much the lunch with Aaron Sanchez and Marcus Stroman went for. Because, I mean, if you were
$2,700 or something, right? It may have been more than that.
If you were a single, get a couple of single females together, lunch with those guys would be great. No, they're good. No, I mean, it's not like I'm seriously. And Buck said that in the air. They're good dudes. It'd be a lot of
fun. Chicks dig pitchers, that's for sure.
And apparently, they dig Munenori Kawasaki. You know what? I got to work Sunday. I've got to go to Ichiro. I got to go to the ballpark Sunday to work.
You do that.
I'm going to bring my earplugs
that's
along.
That's funny. Obviously, it's my favorite day of the year because on Sunday, May the 24th, against the Seattle Mariners, it's Country Day at the Rogers Center. Enough said.
Line to right field deep, heading for the corner. It's up, 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 up. There she goes.
Are you kidding me?
And if it's Country Day, they've got a special. 2-for-1 if you bring your cousin with you.
Translation? That's not funny. See?
I thought that was pretty
That's
good.
That's unbelievable.
I thought that was
you
pretty good.
You were something else.
I thought that was pretty good. You like country music?
I do, yes. Well, hence my accent.
Who's your favorite country singer? Singers? Band.
Garth Brooks. Tim McGraw. I like Tim McGraw.
So you like
Garth Brooks a lot.
You don't. You're not.
My father
school?
Loves Garth Brooks.
Really?
Loves him. Yeah.
You're not. I thought you'd be like a Hank Williams.
I like
guy.
That. Yeah. That. Well, I have to be a little rowdy to like him.
Yeah.
You know.
Takes a couple of beers to like Hank Williams Jr.
A lot.
Yeah. Takes like 20 to like Hank Williams Jr.
I've never drank 20 beers. Have you, Jeff?
No.
There you go.
I don't drink. So just to get you set for the weekend again, it'll be the, although after this show, I'm going to go on a bender, and I'll probably resurface sometime Monday. Just to get you set for the weekend, it'll be the Seattle Mariners against the Blue Jays tonight. Felix Hernandez against Marco Estrada, the first of a three-game series. Jamie Campbell, Greg Zahn on Sportsnet 1 at 6:30. First pitch will be just after 7 on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and also on Sportsnet 1. And then Mike Wilner will take your calls after the game. On the Blue Jays talk, the other pitching matchups this weekend, kind of intriguing, left-hander James Paxton on the mound tomorrow against Mark Burley. That is a 1 o'clock first pitch. James Paxton, a first-round pick of the Blue Jays that the Blue Jays didn't sign. And then Sunday, I would strongly suggest wearing your flame retardant suit to the game because it's Taiwan Walker on the mound for the Mariners, Aaron Sanchez for the Blue Jays. There is going to be
gasoline.
A lot of heat in that game. Wow. We're talking two of the hardest throwing young pitchers in the game. That will be a gem. Again, Taiwan Walker, Aaron Sanchez. That is the matchup on Sunday in the third game of that series, which goes at 1 o'clock on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet Ontario. And then the Jays are on the road. I've also got to mention, by the way, that it is the final match day of the Premier League season on Sunday. Sportsnet's coverage will start at 9:30 with Craig Dobbs and Jerry Forrest and Danny Dicchio, and we'll have
Jerry
Chelsea
Dobbs and Craig Forrest and Danny Dicchio.
What did I say? Jerry Dobbs and Craig Forrest and Danny Dicchio. What did I say? Danny Forrest, Craig.
Craig Dobson and Jerry Forrest is what you said.
They knew they knew it.
The sentiment laughed at.
The sentiment was there.
Forrest laughed.
Did that go on the air?
That did go on there. Also, $6,000 for lunch with Aaron Sanchez.
$6,000?
Wow, I was way off. I said $2,700.
That, by the way, is the voice of Travis McKenzie. He's now got something. He's wearing earplugs. That's pretty good.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Anyhow, there we are. So soccer in the weekend and baseball in the weekend, and, of course, hockey tonight as well. The Stanley Cup playoffs, they will continue. Yes, the NHL is requiring that teams continue to play, even though Mike Babcock has joined the Toronto Maple Leafs. They have not suspended the playoffs. It'll be Stanley Cup hockey, Stanley Cup playoffs as well for us. That was fun, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
We will be back on Monday from 11 to 12 once again with Baseball Central. You guys have a great weekend. Enjoy the baseball. Enjoy the hockey. Enjoy
country
the
day.
Soccer. And if you have to enjoy Country Day. Have a good day, everybody.